So let us be still together as we prepare to worship God. And these words from the psalmist. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We join together to sing. We join together to pray. Let us pray. God of all time, you have made time and entered into time to be with us. We move from ordinary time to extraordinary time. And in this, we wait for you. Keep our hearts aflame with things that please you, mercy, humility, justice. We are here at this time, at the end of one week and the beginning of another. O Lord of the decades and the days, the centuries and the seconds, we pause now for this time and turn ourselves to you. For you are God who holds all time in your hand. Make us ready to receive you. Lord, you call us to a life of mercy and justice and humility, but we do not always live like that. You call us to a life of welcome, but we do not always welcome. You call us to a life of solidarity, but we are not ready to open our hearts and to extend care. Have mercy on us, O God, for the times that we have failed, for the times that we have failed to care. For the sake of your love, set us free from our past and enable us to turn to you again. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. So now I invite Sally to lead us.
Good morning. Hello. I love seeing that wavy thing all over the screen. It's good. Before I do my talk, I just want to explain that after I've done my talk, I'm going to disappear and I'm going to run another Zoom session I'm going to run another Zoom session for the children for the next few weeks because we're rehearsing something very special and secret. It's top secret. And we're going to do that at the gift service on December the 13th. So that's where I've gone. And it won't be for very long. And I'll try and come back and join you when I've done that. Okay. So I'm not just trying to get out of listening to the sermon. All right. Maybe I am. I need to get changed before I give this talk, so bear with me. I'm wondering if you know what this is. Do you know what this is, Esther? You know what this is that I'm about to put on? I wear it sometimes when I'm on my bicycle. You see it? Yeah. This is my high visibility jacket, and I'm sure you know what it does and it works. Basically, it reflects light. So when I'm out at nighttime, the street lights and the car lights shine, and it will shine on my jacket and they'll be able to see me, and that makes it far less dangerous for me to be out and about at nighttime when they can really see me well. So it reflects the light. Now I'm going to show you something else, and for this, come with me if you will. I'm hoping this is going to work. I'm taking on a little journey. Just going to get something along the way. Worked earlier when I tried it. Let's try. Oh, can you see that? It's not very well on the screen. It's shining very brightly where I am because it's very dark. Let's see if I can take you into this really dark corridor. You see it better? Yes. Yes. Good. Coming back into the training room. Now, this also shines brightly. But it works very differently because it absorbs light and it shines it back out later. So one, you know, my jacket will let the light bounce off its surface. No light, no shine. This, my little glow in the dark star, takes light inside and it keeps on shining even after the light has gone. And the question is, which best describes us? Bright and shiny, but only when things are light and going well. Or radiating light wherever we are, because the light is held inside us, ready to shine in light and dark places. Let your light shine. And that's what we'll be hearing about in one of our readings today. And I will see you, Esther, and anyone, any other children around, I will see you at 11 o'clock, okay? See you soon.
Thanks, Ellie. So we have two readings from the Bible. The first is from Thessalonians and the second one, of course, it's from Matthew. The Thessalonians piece speaks that there is peace and security may be a slogan associated with Roman imperial rule, but peace as the world gives is always fragile since it is maintained by military might with the threat of violence. Kathy Seymour will read that piece to us. And then from the Gospel according to Matthew at 25, it's the parable of the talents. There was a shift in medieval times as regarding the meaning of talent from a valuable silver coin to a personal endowment or a skill. Matthew sees the profitable use of the coins as a parallel with sharing the good news of the kingdom. And could it be that maybe Jesus is seen as being the third slave who refuses to conform to the ways of the greedy world, the one who kept the treasure buried, and then eventually is the one who is thrown out himself? That passage we read to us by Richard Scorer.
There is no need to write you, friends, about the times and occasions when these things will happen. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief comes in the night. When people say everything is quiet and safe, then suddenly destruction will hit them. It will come as suddenly as the pains that come upon a woman in labor, and people will not escape. But you, friends, are not in the darkness, and the day should not take you by surprise like a thief. All of you are people who belong to the light, who belong to the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, we should not be sleeping like others. We should be awake and sober. It is at night when people sleep. It is at night when they get drunk. But we belong to the day and we should be sober. We must wear faith and love as a breastplate, and our hope of salvation as a helmet. God did not choose us to suffer his anger, but to possess salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us in order that we might live together with him, whether we are alive or dead when he comes. And so, encourage one another and help one another, just as you are now doing. Amen.
At that time, The kingdom of heaven will be like this. Once there was a man who was about to leave home on a trip. He called his servants and put them in charge of his property. He gave to each one according to his ability. To one he gave 5,000 gold coins, to another he gave 2,000, and to another he gave 1,000. Then he left on his trip. The servant who had received 5,000 coins went at once and invested his money and earned another 5,000. In the same way, the servant who had received 2,000 coins earned another 2,000. But the servant who had received 1,000 coins went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came back and settled accounts with them. The servant who had received 5,000 coins came in and handed over the other 5,000. "You gave me 5,000 coins, sir," he said. "Look, here are another 5,000 that I have earned." "Well done, you good and faithful servant," said his master. "You have been faithful in managing small amounts, so I'll put you in charge of large amounts. Come in and share my happiness." Then the servant who had been given 2,000 coins came in and said, "You gave me 2,000 coins, sir. Look, here are another 2,000 that I have earned." "Well done, you good and faithful servant," said his master. "You have been faithful in managing small amounts, so I will put you in charge of large amounts. Come in and share my happiness." Then the servant who had received 1,000 coins came in and said, "Sir, I know you are a hard man. You reap harvests where you did not plant, and you gather crops where you did not scatter seed. I was afraid, so I went off and hid your money in the ground. Look, here is what belongs to you." "You bad and lazy servant," his master said. "You knew, did you, that I reap harvests where I did not plant and gather crops where I did not scatter seed? Well then, you should have deposited my money in the bank, and I would have received it all back with interest when I returned. Now, take the money away from him and give it to the one who has 10,000 coins. For to every person who has something, even more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But the person who has nothing, even the little that he has, will be taken away from him. As for this useless servant, throw him outside in the darkness. There he will cry and gnash his teeth." Amen.
Hello, I'm Leslie Charlton, and I'm one of the ministers of Kingston United Reformed Church. My colleague is the Reverend Dr. A. Sugin Lee, and if you want to speak to us, please get in touch. The texts that I'm preaching from today are 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 1 to 11 and Matthew 25 verses 14 to 13. Read them and then come back in. When you hear or when you read the story of the parable of the talents, what did you hear? Some people heard, "Blah, blah, blah, story I've heard loads, I'm not really listening, I've heard it before." After the first line, didn't listen anymore. And some people would have heard it because they're trained by preachers to focus on the one talent and the one who failed to use it. And people have heard it, you've heard it as a story about judgment and condemnation rather than a story about invitation and celebration and using gifts well. Interesting, isn't it? All three are invited, extravagantly invited. A shekel was a lot of money, and two can accept the invitation and one takes his invitation and rips it up and buries it in the recycling bin. And when the inviter returns, he says, "No, I'm not coming." And the third servant condemns himself to a place, a situation that is joyless. And he creates it for himself. The parable of the talents is exactly that. It's a parable. It's a story designed to teach us things that are eternal. But it's not an allegory, so it's not he equals God, he equals us. It's like many stories with a horrifying background history of the just quiet regard of slavery. We've heard these words so many times, and we focus on the third servant rather than the first two. I wonder why. We home in on the one who did not use his gifts rather than the other two that did. Isn't it interesting how we search out the negative rather than holding on to the positive? What did the first two do to make their money, I wonder? How did they get that return? Was it surprising that slaves would have a great wadge of cash to be investing? Especially so much. Would it be surprising? It's a story that congratulates the entrepreneur as much as condemns the one paralyzed by fear. It's interesting, but we also know now that it's the result of our biology. We are wired to focus on problems which happen at the expense of having a positive view. It's known, this is just fabulous use of language, as the Velcro Teflon effect. The human brain wraps itself around fear and problems like Velcro. Our brains love a problem. We dwell on bad experiences long after the effect, after the fact, and we spend tons and tons of energy worrying about what might go wrong. On the opposite side, positive gratitude, simple thanks, happiness, to slide off us like cheese on hot Teflon, hence the Teflon Velcro name. And the neuroscientist Rick Hansen has said that we need to intentionally hold a positive thought for 15 seconds before it leaves any imprint in our neurons. That might sound a bit mumbo jumbo and a bit extreme, until we pause and we look at our lives and look at our society and we realise actually it's true. Why does the media focus on broken marriages and adultery? Tut, 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 we say as we keep buying the papers. Why do we love to share tales about bad things that have happened? Why do we love to gossip, or in the case of the church, I'd just like to tell you a private concern for prayer is exactly the same. Why do we wake up in the night and worry about what might happen rather than wake up and pleasantly remember things that actually have happened that were great, or think about the good things that might happen? For the sake of our mental health in this season, we need to be proactively thankful. 10 things that you are thankful for today. Make it a discipline, make it a habit to go through the 10. It's not to deny the reality of the pandemic, but it is to help us to deal with it in a clear, not fearful way. This week, somebody spoke to me about how she lives surrounded by atheists. But at meal times, she's developed the practice of asking everybody to say something that they are thankful for. It's a practice that works whether you believe in God or not. So as well as providing food, she is bringing a positive, godly, appropriate witness to her table. Everybody is invited to a full life, and some would rather say no. Why? Well, it could be that they've got too much to lose by being a part of it. Not that they don't know what we believe, but they do know, and they know how revolutionary it is. Some people have postulated that some people who are not part of the church have a clearer understanding of just what it means to be a Christian. They understand that if they were to follow Jesus, that would turn their lives completely upside down, and they don't want to face it. Why? Well, because life is comfortable enough. Thanks very much. Is it currently, I wonder? As we listen to the letter to the Thessalonian Christians, did we hear the chat about the end times, or the fact that they don't have to be worried about it? That it wouldn't take them by surprise, because they are children of the day, children of light. There is mention of wrath. It's a very unusual word, and the concept is very unusual in the whole sweep of the scriptures. I wonder whether the wrath described in the letter to the Thessalonians is about those who would not and could not accept the invitation. Those who had the gospel measured and predictable, whereas the good news is light and wakefulness. The good news is not, we'll believe this and that will happen. It's live a life that speaks of these life-changing truths. Thessalonians are to be people of faith and hope and love. But that doesn't mean that their life has been easy. The letter at chapter 1 verse 6 lets us know that they have been a persecuted group. These are not people speaking from a cushy position. They are a persecuted minority, and they have been called to focus on a sober, awake life. To focus on being people of light who need a breastplate of faith and the helmet of the hope of salvation. Breastplate and helmet, powerful things. These are protective armor worn by Roman soldiers, but more than that, they show who it is that this person is serving. For a Roman soldier, obviously, it's the emperor. In the case of the Thessalonians, using it as a metaphor, that they are followers of Jesus. Faith, love, and hope identify them as following him. So if someone looked at the way our lives are being lived, would they see faith, hope, and love as our badges? Or would they see fear, self-obsession, and withdrawal? And finally, and remember what an optimist is, it's the person that puts on their shoes when the minister says, and finally, what about the challenge at the end of the letter? To be people who will encourage one another, build one another up. How are we doing that at this moment? We know that we will be in this situation for weeks. We need to find ways, new ways of behaving and relating. Our old ways, we can't do that currently. So do we stay locked in our hearts as we stay locked in our homes? Who will you encourage today? Who will we find ways to invite into this life in all its fullness? What will we show about living a life in this time? And will we practice what it is to be thankful? Amen.
So let us join together to pray. Let us pray. We pray, O God, who is always ready for those overtaken with demands. For those overburdened with anxiety. Give them rest, O Lord. We pray for those who are overcome with debt, for those who have earned nothing since last March, and for those countries and the leaders of the nations wondering about how they will pay. For the vaccine. For the infrastructure that needs to happen. And we pray, for it will be a challenge for us, but imagine for the poorest of the world's countries. Lord, we pray. We pray for those who have got themselves into a way of thinking that is perpetually looking for the bleakest point of view. For those who have got themselves into a way of a negative way of thinking. And we pray for those who live with them. And more, we pray for those who have found this season a time when the depression that they always battle with is rampant. And we pray for all those involved in mental health, in hospitals, in the community. Lord, we pray. For those in situations they just cannot see a way out of. We pray for those who are at the turning point in their lives, wondering about the use of some different ability. Reshaping how they earn a living, re-examining their finances. Lord, we pray that they would have good and robust friends, mentors, and guides. And we pray for all those who are ill at this time and for those who are looking after them. and for those in need of hope. And that includes us. Give relief, O Lord. Give hope, O Lord. And let your light shine. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So some notices from me before we dedicate the offering that we've all made, and then we will move. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Right, so I'm conscious that some of you can't hear me. Can you hear me? Could you wave if you can hear me? I think I might need to go downstairs. I'll be with you in a minute.
You can't hear me?
Yeah. Okay, I just was conscious of the praying. Okay, no, I didn't see them. Okay. All right. Thank you, Alice. I'm back. I actually only did that just to see James and Richard nearly. So some notices from me. Pray for those who are involved in the new takeaway service that is happening from tomorrow in the building. Pray for them. And if anybody wants to make a financial contribution towards it, that's great. But the thing to say is that the guys in the market have been providing us with vegetables to make that happen, which is fabulous. The building will be open for prayer today from 4:30 till 6:00. There's not a service, we're not allowed to do that, but the building will be open for prayer. And so we are grateful to the elder, whoever that is, and to Carol Clack and to Stuart for making this happen. Thank you. If you can knit, and yes, that's right. If you can knit, and if you are interested in being part of the Larry project, would you please get in touch with Linda and she'll furnish you with the resources that you need? And could you, I'm not spoiling the surprise. And could I remind you that we're building up an Advent calendar. So we need pictures about waiting or birth or Jesus or Christmas. And would you send them to me or to John Watts? That would be great. Thank you very much. And as you know, currently I am in Scotland. I got a message last Sunday from my mother to say that something had happened to my father. The situation that we're in at the moment is that although something has changed, he's now in a different phase and things have stabilised. And our expectation is that we will be returning to England in a few days. But I'm still working and I've still got my phone and I'm still picking up emails. So if you need to communicate, please do so. So if you'd like to get your bread and wine ready, but first I will dedicate the money that we give and remind you that the financial responsibilities of the church are still needing our stewardship. And there's a range of ways in which you can give. And if you need help with the administration of that, please ask us and we will make that happen. But for now, let us pray. We turn towards you, O God. We think of what we bring and of what we don't. We ask that you would bless the gifts of money, of bread and wine that we offer, that they would be used for the work of your kingdom. And we ask that you would bless the gifts of money that we keep in our banks for ourselves, and ask that that too would be vehicles of your light in our communities, in the way that we live day by day. Pour out your spirit on these gifts, God of generosity and God who has given us all. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's see if I can do this. Hear the gracious words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Cast your burden on the Lord, and God will sustain you. Let us pray. Where there is a table, you are always ready to make room. Where there is a home, you are always ready to welcome. Where there is a thirst, you are always ready to quench. Where there is hunger, you are always ready to share. O Lord, who breaks bread for all, who broke your body to show us the way, we praise you for your unending readiness to welcome us, to welcome others. Pour out your spirit on these gifts of bread and wine, that these things of the earth would be a foretaste of the heavenly banquet, that this bread would be for us as the body of Christ, and this wine as the blood of Christ. And as we eat and as we drink, we would know that we are united with one another and united with you and united with the communion of the saints, of those who have gone before us. So blessing and honour, glory and power belong to you, our God, for now, forever. Amen. So hear the narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. He took bread, blessed and broke it, and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you." The body of Christ. So in may also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." the blood of Christ. So let us pray. Lord, thank you for feeding us at your table. Thank you for the privilege of taking part with you. Strengthen us for your service, that we would be people who show your light, who speak of love and hope and joy in troubled times, and who share that which will last rather than that which is passing. Thank you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us join to sing our final hymn, and then after the blessing, we will stick around for breakout rooms if you can. And if you can't bear that, give somebody a call and have a wee chat. It's all good. So let's join to sing our final hymn. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord, and the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and those who we love wherever they are. Thanks be to God. Amen.